Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna get ready.
What you gonna do?
The Lord is doing
what you're gonna do.
What you gonna do?
You better get your house in order.
What you gonna do?
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 Blog Talk Radio. Your program is the Old Ship of Zion. Your host is Overseer Janice Ward. Hallelujah. I don't know what happened here. Let me see if I can get back on because I don't know what I did. I don't know what I did. Try this again. Oh, boy. Greetings. You are tuned into Blog Talk Radio. Your program is the Old Ship of Zion. Your host is Overseer Janice Ward. I am so delighted, hallelujah, to be able to come across these skyways and airways, bringing unto you the divine word of truth. Hallelujah. I just thank those of you that was so graciously able to tune in this morning on such a short notice. However, I have been having some studio difficulties there for a moment. But I guess everything seems to be okay. And I just hope and pray that all is well in your family circle. I hope and pray that all continually to be well with you and yours. Hallelujah. And so I just want to send condolences out to those of you that has lost loved ones. Hallelujah. And I just want you to know that you are not alone in your hour of bereavement, and that you have men's and women's warriors, hallelujah, prayer warriors, pilgrims, sojourners, disciples, that's praying for you and with you daily, so you are not alone in your hour of bereavement. And we're praying that God will restore, hallelujah, restoration unto your heart and soul. And all right, now we're going to go on into our opening prayer. We always have an opening prayer when we come across these skyways and airways, bringing unto you the divine word of truth. And so we're going to now, I'm going to ask those of you that are out there in my live digital audience on this morning to bow your beautiful heads as we go down and reference our Lord and Savior. And I want to introduce to Zom and present to others. His name is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He's a native of Nazareth, yet born in Bethlehem. And he is our soon coming Messiah. Hallelujah. So we're going to go down and reference him at this time. Father God, we come again. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. With a grateful heart of your sovereignty and your love unmeasured, we thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, for enabling us to gather in unity once again, God, around this spectrum. But we know that this earthly soil that we're treading on, God, is not our eternal destination. But we know that you have lying in waiting a mansion that's not built by mortal man, but you are the architect and you are the creator. But until you crack those clouds one historical day, we will continue to mount up before the four corners of this earth, from the north, south, east, and west. Pilgrims through this barren land, God, I'm asking you on this morning, God, to anoint these lips of clay, God. Able me to bring a word, God, to those, then again, that may not know of you and the pardons of their iniquity. Grace me, your servant, with words of encouragement, words of wisdom, to those that are hurting deep down in the epitome of their souls. We'd be so mindful, Lord, to give your name all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. These and other blessings we ask in your Son Jesus' mighty, marvelous name. And we'll let the temple say amen and amen. I want you to get you a good seat this morning. We're going to get up close and personal this morning. And I want you to get your digital devices and bring them aboard. And we know that since I have been kind of delayed in my program, we know that time is yet moving right along. So without any further ado, we're going to take you live into a program that's already in progression. And this morning, I guess you could say it's morning. It's not quite daylight, but it is in the a.m. Morning. And so today's sermon entitled Divided Heart. I want to say that one more time. Divided Heart. And we're going to read our first key scripture. And it reads this. By faith, Noah prepared an ark, the saving of his household. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Hebrews 11 and 7. All right, we're going to move on down to our second key scripture. And it reads this. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of 2 Corinthians 7 and 1. And here is our final and conclusion scripture reading for this morning. And it reads this. She said to her mistress, if only my master was with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy. That scripture reading, my friend, is coming out of the law, 2 Kings 5 and 3. Hallelujah. So we're going to talk a little bit about this theme on this morning, and we're talking about, once again, the divided heart. And we know that throughout the ages, we have come to this revelation that wholeness has been one of the marks of the church. We note that the word from the Apostle Creed, I believe in the Holy Universal Church. We know that living in a society that emphasizes the welfare of the individuals at the expense of the common good, we often lose sight of the fact that we are called not just to live as holy individuals, but also to live as a holy community set up in God's presence, a community that manifests his truth and action in the world. We know that an overemphasis on personal holiness without, hallelujah, consideration of our life in community is a corruption of the Christian faith. We know that holy living is more than following rules, for in Jesus Christ, we have been set free from the law. We have been taught by God to let love be our rule. We know that the earlier Christians experienced a pervading sense of the presence of a God who chose them and cared for them. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Both individually and as a community. We know that the Thessalonians were challenged in three important areas that are expressed in community life, human sexuality, public life, And that's home, work, school, or church. And private life, even in small groups, Paul instructed them in these, hallelujah, areas. And he urged them to walk to please God so that so he would abound more and more. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Thessalonians 4 and 1. What we desperately need today is to capture a sense of our community life as an expression of holy living. We know that holy living began with the desire to be used by God and is reflected in faith and actions together in community life. We know that holy living is nurtured in the ministry of God, in the preaching and teaching, caring and sharing of God's saving love in the communities of which we are a part. Then our daily living is a witness to the incarnate word, and we are empowered to influence others in a living for God, the one apostolic, holy, and universal Christian community in every place is liberated to hear what the Spirit is saying and to let go where the Spirit is leading community life as scripture by God is indeed an expression of holy living. Now, we know that when we're going to talking about holy living, you know, we raise a lot of eyebrows. We get people, you know, look like they get in a different mindset mode. But I want to encourage you, and I want to set the record straight. What God has given his prophet, his witness, his apostle, his bishop, his pastor, his evangelist to bring forth to you is coming directly out of the mouth of God. And we cannot be, you know, afraid to preach God's word, because this is what we are instructed to do through God himself. So we have to rightly divide the word of truth. We cannot sugarcoat the word of God. Now, if you have any problems, it's not with me. I'm just doing the work of my daddy. So if you got a problem, it's not with me. And it's not with any other child of God that's preaching the divine word of truth. This is our charge. Because when on the day that we stand before the judgment seat of God, this will be recorded. In other words, it will be rewind our whole life. Every episode, every area of our life will be recorded. So don't get mad when the man or woman of God is telling you what thus says the Lord. We didn't write the Bible. We are not the one that went and died a horrific death. They hung him high and spread him wide on Calvary cross. That was Jesus Christ. That was his doing. And he loved us that much. Because he said in his word, he didn't get no kick out of going to Calvary cross. So we don't want to get it twisted, because God did not get a good thrill for going to Calvary cross. But he said, it's not my will that I go. But it is, in fact, the will of my Father. So it was God that sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. He is the one that wrote the Bible. And we are just implementing what thus says the Lord. And you would want somebody that would want to save your soul from a burning hell. Because just as sure as I am sitting here breathing and talking to you, that is a hell, whether you want to believe it or not. But it's our charge to bring unto you the divine word of God as he implemented it to us. No more and no less. We cannot add to the word of God, neither can we take away. But this is our choice. And if you want somebody that love you, they will tell you the truth. Somebody that don't care anything about your soul will tell you exactly what you want to hear. And that is the disputed word of God. So they're going against the prick. They're going against the prick, and that's the word of God. And they, too, will have to stand in judgment for what they have done. So our charge is to win souls for the kingdom and the glory of God. Because we love you. We love you. And if anybody that is a man and woman of God, and they take that oath before God and man, when they take on and they walk in the newness and the spirit of God, and God said, I want you to go and preach my gospel to every creature, that is what God is, that is what he is wanting all of the individuals that are sold out for God, is to go in the world and preach his gospel to every creature. God said that he that believes is baptized, but he that believeth not shall be damned. But I know that a lot of people, you know, they get, you know, I don't know, it just looks like they get mad and, you know, come all unglued when you go to talking about living holy. But this is what God said, and he didn't just tell a few to live holy, but each and every one of us, if we intend to see God and live with him up in glory, up in heaven, we're going to have to live this thing like he outlined it for us to live. So God give us a choice. He's not dragging us, you know, by our wig, not by our leg, by our arm, by our pant leg, our dress tail. But God give us a choice. And if you really knew the dynamics of hell, I tell you, people would be running if they knew the magnitude of hell. They would be running to God everywhere. But you ought to love a man or woman that want to see you make it into hell. You know, we're just like your teacher. You know, we had a teacher and we had a professor, but we had a teacher. When we was in school, we had a teacher, and they told us the do's and the don'ts. You know, we got to go home, we got to stay away from the TV, we got to study for our test in order to pass it, to get a good grade. And if we didn't go home and study, and we thought that, hey, we knew enough that we could just pass it anyway without studying, we go there and take the test, and then we get a failing grade. That's the same way it is with the word of God. The Bible is already printed. It's already outlined for how we are to live our lives down here on earth. And so, you know, just, you know, love the man or woman that want to tell you the divine word of truth, because he is only doing what God has instructed him or her to do, as delivering the gospel as Jesus Christ has implemented. We know that, I know I don't have that much time, but I'm going to try to get as much in here as I possibly can. Hallelujah. We know that Noah's life, and it was the principle that every act of faith condemns the world. The word of God says that by faith Noah, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heirs of the righteousness which is according to faith. That scripture reading is coming out of the law, Hebrews 11:7. And so we can talk about this lifestyle of living a holy life. We know that in the New Testament, Noah, he was a preacher of righteousness. In 2 Peter 2 and 5, even though none of his sermons are recorded in the Bible, perhaps it was no obedience to God in building the ark that stands as his greatest witness to God's commanded him. Greatest witness to a self-centered and violent generation. According to all that God had commanded him, this is what the word of God says. According to all that God has commanded him, so he did. So whatever God has commanded us to do, that's what we're supposed to do. If we want to be called children of God. Now we can be called, God calls you when you're disobedient. God give you another name. I forget that name, but you have another name when you're disobedient. You're heathen. Yes. Thank you, Lord. You're a heathen when you're disobedient. So if you don't want to be a heathen, then you be an obedient child of God. And the word of God says, so according to all that God had commanded him, so he did. That scripture reading is coming out of law, Genesis 6 and 22. So we know that it can be easy to be critical of the sin of others, but how much more powerful I bind you in the name of Jesus. The powerful to demonstrate, thank you, Lord, the grace and the righteousness of our God by living for him. So we know that living holy requires us to do quite a bit of things. And that is to change our mind of thinking. For once, we have to have a mind of God to think on heavenly thoughts. Not saying that we can't be in the world, because this is where we live. We live in the world every day. But the Bible says you can be in the world, but you don't be of the world. So we know that we have to be separated from the world. Hallelujah. And so, I remember that I had worked in my yard for several weeks, and I was amazed, hallelujah, at how quickly the weeds had sprung up and taken over. Weeds don't need tendering. They just seem to love to sprout up, hallelujah, from anyone who just if you just want to let things go. We know that you can have roses and you can have grass, and then grass can then turn into weeds if it's not tilled, if it's not managed. So we know that you can have a bed of beautiful flowers, but it takes watering and it takes feeding, and of course it strives under the care of one who is not afraid to get dirty. So if you're not afraid to get dirty and get dirt under your fingernails, then you presumably will have a beautiful flower bed, beautiful lawn, because you don't mind getting out there getting dirty. And we know that the Christian life, it takes work. It requires the commitment of one whole being to Jesus in your body, in your mind, and in your emotions. You have to have the will to a life that is wholesome, attractive, and uplifting to others, fulfilling to oneself. Even then, we know that weeds of selfishness and sinful attitudes spring up and overrun the fruit of the Spirit. And that scripture reading can come out of the law, of Galatians 5 and 22 through 23. We know that that is the problem with many believers at the Corinthians. They had become overgrown with envy and divisiveness. Going to the law, 1 Corinthians 3 and 1, Paul told them to cleanse themselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We know that in the law of 2 Corinthians, by holiness, we didn't mean that they could be sinless, but blameless. We know that they could always get God's help in prayer and pray the prayer of faith that God can help us to uproot any weeds of the flesh and the spirit before they become ugly habits. And we can say, Lord, let the beauty of Christ's character be what others see in us. Hallelujah. We know that the identity of sin, hallelujah, of the flesh and the spirit has to be having a mindset to free yourself of lustful desire. Free yourself of wanting to be a part of the world and want to spend your remaining days in the life of Christ. Being a witness so you can tell others how they too might believe and be delivered and be set free, and they can live a life of Christ. Because if you yield to God, you won't yield to sin. If you yield to God, then you won't give in to sin. Hallelujah. You will have a mind to do right and to live right. Because when you come out of the world, then you left all the worldly things behind you. You left the honky-tonks and the Jew joints behind you. You left the lying and the swearing behind you. You left running behind Mr. Jones' wife behind you. You left running behind Miss Jones' husband. You left those things behind you. Those minds of lusting demons and spirits. When God really come into our lives and really clean us up through and through, I am telling you, so help me God, you do not have those same mindsets. Because when you are new in Christ, Christ said, you are a new creature in Christ. And Christ do not have cleanups. When you come to Christ and you ask God to be your Lord and Savior, you invite him into your life. You say, Lord, I want you to come into my life. Be my Lord and my Savior. I am tired of living the life that I once lived. And I want you to be my Lord and Savior. And you're giving everything that you once did up. You're taking on a new attitude. The home that you used to run, it's kind of like the old, it was old song saying, love under new management. So when you stop for Christ, your household is under new management. Because there's no smoking and no dope in there. There's no lying and swearing there. There's no cheating in the next room there. Hallelujah. You won't lust after somebody else's wife. You won't lust after somebody else's husband that's already taken. You will wait on God to give you the ideal man or woman that he wants you to have. See, and we have to get our mind out of looking at everything on television. Everything on television is not good for us, that spiritual house of ours. You can't serve God and be looking at everything that the world look at, because that is making room for the satanic force to come in and take root. You have to be sold out for God. And so that's the reason that God died. God did not go die and get 39 stripes, cross his back, pierced in his side with a spear in his side, nails crown of thorns placed upon his head, all in his skull. I mean, those things were so sharp till they were all in his flesh. You think that God died a horrific death for you to live like you want to live and do like you want to do and just think that it's okay? No, it is not, my friend. God died so you could have life everlasting. There is no greater lifestyle. Now, yes, the world has a lot to offer you, so it seems, but it's all temporary. It's all a host. But only what you do for God is going to last. So don't get mad at the woman of God for trying to tell you the truth, because the truth will hurt you, but guess what? The truth will set you free. The truth will set you free, and you will love that person that want to save you from a burning hell. Just as sure as I'm sitting here, there is a hell. If it's a heaven, he says he rules the heaven, all of the heavens, and then he rules everything down here on earth. So we're on earth, and we have some witnesses that's already done went to hell. So they are witnesses that have already been to hell. So hell is not like going to a party. You're not going to have no party down there. It's not going to be raining down there. But it's going to be torment. It's going to be your gritting at your teeth and hollering. That's what the word of God says. And then, you know, hell is just like your dryer. You know, when you put your clothes in the dryer and you shut the door and you press it you press it so it will tumble your clothes around. Well, the Bible describes hell as the bottom. So that means that you will be falling and falling and falling with no bottom. So you will never get to the end, because the word of God says that hell has no bottom. And the firemen won't be able to come and put that fire out. The fire hydrant will not help you on that day. So the person that's preaching the word of God is preaching the word of God to convey to you to change your lifestyle, change your mindset. Because, my friend, whether you believe it or not, Jesus is soon to come. Jesus is soon to come. Hallelujah. And so we know that the Israelites of Hosea's day, they were trying to worship both the pagan idols and the one true and living God. So the prophet Hosea used three colorful figures of speech to describe their divided hearts. And that's what we're talking about this morning. We're talking about the divided heart. First, they were like a half-baked hallelujah. They neither wanted God nor the pagans. They were like a proud man who can't see the sign of his aging. They was unaware of their spiritual decline. They were like a sinless dove flying from one pagan nation in another one. Hallelujah. They was in a vain quest for help. In today's Christian world, we often are afflicted with the same divided heart. And that's what we're talking about. People that don't want to hear the word of God, don't want to hear the truth. Because the Bible says that the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. So what they have a divided heart syndrome. We believe on Jesus, but are reluctant to commit every error of our lives to him. Yeah, we go to church, but we don't want to live out our faith each day. If it's deprived of a worldly success and pleasure. So that is what we want. We are wanting to have our cake and eat it too. We want to have one foot in the church house and another foot in the honky-tonk, or in the titty titty bar. Yeah, that's what I said. In the titty bar. But you cannot serve God and Satan at the same time. He said, choose ye this day who you're going to serve. We know that a divided heart, though, results in some serious consequences. We don't please God or attract non-believers to Christ. We know it might even take a crisis to show us our true spiritual decline. We believe unfulfillment lies. We live unfulfillment lives. Even though we fit from one worldly pleasure to another. So what we need to do, we need to pray each day and ask God, say, God, teach me. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. So that's what you need to do, is ask God to teach you and to walk, hallelujah, in the fear of God. See, people just don't fear God anymore. You know, they go to church. They want to make the church the honky-tonk. They want to go in there and they want to drink wine and beer and whiskey. They want to go in there and they want to go in there with all their behind out, all their bosom out. And say they say they go in the church house doing the two-step and doing the, what is that, shake a leg or whatever the video that's going, done already, I guess, went viral now. But doodle stanky leg or something. But like I said, woe to those of you that tried to make God's house out of, look like it's a whole house. You know, they done took the church away from it, and now it's like you're going into a whole house. Everybody's doing what they want to do. No respect for God and his sanctuary whatsoever. But I tell you what, God is nothing to play with. God is a God. So he's slow to anger. Yes, he is. But you don't want to see God get mad. Because, honey, when God get mad, my Lord, woo, you better go run for cover is all I can tell you. You better go run for cover because, honey, it won't be nothing nice. When he get through, it won't be nothing nice. So it just, you know, it behooves us. And if you're not ready to come in yet, just stay on out there till you're ready. You know, don't come in, you know, half-stepping. You come in all the way with a made-up mind. Just stay out there till you're ready and just hope and pray. Like they used to say, at the old hotel saying, we'll keep the light on for you. Just hope that God will keep the door open for you and that the devil don't get you first. Because we know that time is of an essence and time waiting on no one. But don't get mad at the man or woman that's teaching you direct from the word of God. You ought to love that person. And say, thank you, my sister. Thank you, my brother, for telling me the truth. You know, because the truth will hurt you, but the truth will set you free. And I'm going to read this last little reading, and that will be it for this morning. So, you know, if you Google a person of influence, the search will take you to various lists of the most influential people in the world. The list usually includes political leaders, some business entrepreneurs, and athletes, along with people in science and art and entertainment. You will not find the names of cooks and cleaners who work for them, but yet those in so-called lowly positions often influence the people they serve. We can talk about the story of Naaman. He was a high-ranking military commander, including King and a prophet of God. Yet it was the servant in the background whose words led to Naaman being cured of the leprosy. He had a career-ending life, changing disease. He was a young servant girl that, taken captive from Israel, told Naaman's wife that a prophet in Samaria could heal him. And when Elijah instructed him to bathe in the Jordan River, angered Naaman, and his servant urged him to follow the prophet's order. The result was Naaman's restoration to health and his declaration. So now I know that there is no God in all the earth. I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now we know that this is a beautiful picture of our role as followers of Jesus Christ. We are called to be the people of influence. We know that the Lord's servant who points others to the one who touched can change their lives. And the woman and the man of God are the ones that should live their life to influence others so they too would want to live the life of Christ. Hallelujah. Bless your holy name. So you're supposed to live your life in such a way that the sinner man life will be impacted. Hallelujah. And the Lord's servant that you can point others to the one that can touch and change their life as well. So we can always ask God to give us, hallelujah, the mentality to be people of influence. Hallelujah. Like Naaman's, the servant girl, to be brave and bold, to touch the lives of others by pointing them to God. Fill me, Holy Spirit, with your power. And Christ can send us out to bring others in. And that is our mandate. That is our mandate. That is our order. From God. He said to preach my gospel. Go into the world and preach not your gospel, but preach my gospel to every creature. He that believeth, them that believe, that's another word, him that believeth shall be baptized. And them that believeth not shall be damned. I hope and I pray I've said something to marinate your spirit and infuse your mind, as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. If this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, if you have any prayer petitions, you want the old Tribe of Zion to go down and pray on your behalf. You are most certainly encouraged to send your correspondence to God House of Deliverance, Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. This station has been brought to you by Blog Talk Radio. Send your correspondence, make them attentive to Overseer Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California 95020. Our web address is www.janicewardministries.org. Till we meet again across these skyways and airways, you're encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. Up next, Hymns of Zion. Bye for now. Thank you.
As we grew up in our tradition, and it was dark, the Lord was our light and our salvation. The Lord was the strength of our lives. We thank God for Jesus. We even thank God for evil. Helped us appreciate just how good was. We learned to say, we are grateful. The earliest of our existence, even to right now, we are grateful. We learned our lessons in the wilderness. We are grateful. We can look back on slavery and we close our eyes and wonder how we got over. We are grateful. We've been down in the grave, but he conquered the grave. And we are grateful. We've been crucified, but the stone has been rolled away, and it's Easter morning, and we are grateful. All this talent God has given us, and a chance to glorify his name, we are grateful. We serve a God tonight that's so great, and so big, and so wonderful. And once you know God, everything is visible. No mountain is too high, no valley too low, no water too fat, no winter too cold. We serve a mighty God. So our hands are high, our chests out, and joy bells are ringing our souls, and we're glad about it. On the great joy of our lives, Sister Mavis Staple. Let's hear it. Sister Mavis Staple. Hey. Sister Mavis. Sister Rita. Rita.
Mavis and I grew up as teenagers, traveling with our family. She and the Staple Singers, and myself, and my dad, and Lucy Branch, and Sammy Bryant. And we met on a Mississippi road one evening. Yeah. And we're going back to our rooms.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.